We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count for your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Angela Yee, I love you.
50%
ratchetness.
Tell them ratchets to sit down.
95% ratchet.
This is becoming the most prominent forum for hip-hop.
Wake your ass up.
It's early in the morning, but they tell me it was y'all. I say, oh, hell yeah, I'm getting up.
The world's most dangerous morning show. DJ Envy.
Your people's choice.
Angela Yee.
I'm a sweetheart, but I'll cut you.
Charlamagne the God.
Prince of pissing people off.
I can't believe you guys are the best, kid.
Collectively known as
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Yo.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. It's Monday.
Your mic sounds a little funny. I don't know why.
I don't got nothing to do with that. I'm talent. Okay, all I'm here to do is show up and talk.
Yeah, your mic sounds a little funny. I don't know what it is.
I don't got nothing to do with the engineering aspect of it. I don't got nothing to do with the technical aspect of it.
You good money now.
Because somebody adjusted something. Somebody did their job. I'm here doing mine.
Something sounded a little crazy. But we're here. It's Monday. Back to the work week. Shout out to everybody that was out in North Carolina for CIAA. Had an amazing time. I love seeing you guys. Thank you for partying with us. It was a packed weekend. I'm tired now. I ain't gonna lie. I got home last night at 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, so you ain't get to see nothing. You ain't get to see the Oscars. You ain't get to see the Shy.
Nope. I didn't see nothing.
All
yet. I didn't see the Shy. I didn't see Homeland. I didn't see none of that stuff yet.
Well, yes, we had our annual day party in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, I came home yesterday. You know what the first thing I did was when I got home?
Sleep.
I watched this movie on Netflix, Veronica.
Veronica.
Yes, everybody was talking about it because, you know, I love scary movies.
Oh.
So it's a horror movie, but they said it's based on a true story, and that's what made it extra scary. And it has subtitles because it's in Spanish. It's in Madrid. But it was a great movie. I'm glad I had a chance to see it. It was very scary.
Was it nominated for anything last night at the Oscars?
Well, no, it just came out on Netflix.
Oh, it just came out. Mm. Okay. I want to see the movie The Shape of Water now because of the Oscars.
That's what's supposed to happen.
Is it about a lady that has sex with a water person?
I still don't know what it's about. I just keep seeing all these white people talking to this monster in the tub.
Yeah, I was confused.
And they're not trying to kill the monster, which always intrigues me. Whenever you see white people not trying to kill something that looks crazy, I wonder why they're not trying to kill it.
Well, The Shape of Water did win for Best Picture, and Guillermo del Toro won for Best Director for Shape of Water.
And I want to see it. And, you know, the easy thing for people to say is like, oh, Get Out should have won. Get Out should have won. I can't say that if I haven't seen all the other movies.
That's true.
Did you see any of the other movies that were nominated for Best Picture?
I don't even know what else.
What other movies were nominated?
I just remember Shape of Water and Get Up.
Lady Bird.
Phantom Thread.
Three Billboards Outside
Ebbing,
Missouri.
I do want to see Three Billboards. Three Billboards looks interesting, too.
Dunkirk,
I want to see that.
Darkest Hour, and Call Me By Your Name.
Nope.
I'm interested in seeing The Shape of Water and Three Billboards.
I've seen Molly's Game. You ever heard of Molly's Game?
Molly Gang?
No, not Molly Gang.
It has to do with drugs.
Molly what?
Molly's Game.
I don't think Molly's a game, sure. No drugs are a game.
No. It's about a lady who ran like a gambling ring in L.A. and then she moved to New York. It was making like $40,000 a week. All she was doing is just basically supplying the game and the players. And it would tip her like $40,000 a week.
Was this movie nominated for an Oscar?
Yeah, was this nominated for an Oscar?
It just came out, guys. Just came out.
Oh, well, we were just, okay. I thought that's what you were talking about.
It just came out, guys.
Okay.
I just wanted to say it. Anyway, well, let's get the show cracking. Tory Lanez will be joining us this morning.
Was Tory Lanez nominated for an Oscar?
Might have been. I don't know.
No.
No, he wasn't.
Kobe was.
Kobe won, actually.
Yes, he did.
We'll talk about that. In front page news, what else are we talking about?
We are going to talk about a shooting that happened at Central Michigan University. What happened with this student, and who did he kill?
All right. We'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
I can't even hear this song without thinking about Pete Davidson and Chris Reddish from Saturday Night Live's remix of God's Plan, Don's Plan, where they're rapping from the perspective of Donald Trump. Oh, it's incredible.
Really? I haven't heard it.
Yes.
I think
Saturday Night Live was shook to play it, but they put it out.
Okay. All right. Well, morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. You want to start off with the Oscar sheet?
I mean, we talked about it already this morning, but we'll talk about that more in the rumors. But basically, we were just talking about Best Picture and Best Director that went to The Shape of Water and Guillermo del Toro, who was the director for The Shape of Water. So that was the big wins for the night. But we'll tell you about some firsts when we get into Rumor Report.
Now, what about this shooting in a school? What were you talking about, Yee?
Yes, so we were talking about Central Michigan University. The parents of James Eric Davis Jr. were coming there to take him home for spring break. And they had just picked him up from a hospital. He was checked in for erratic behavior. And that's when James Eric Davis Jr. picked up a gun that belonged to his father and killed both of his parents. This happened on Friday. Now, Davis fled, but he was arrested early Saturday near some train tracks. They said he was behaving very erratically. And he went to the police and said that, campus police, he said that he believes that people were trying to kill him. And they checked some security footage from him inside of an elevator. Everything seemed fine and normal. Then officers said they found him to be nonsensical later on. This time he was in a dorm hallway. And they suspected that drugs were involved. So they took him to the hospital to get him checked out because they said, clearly, mentally, he's just not making a lot of sense. That's when they called his parents and took him to that local hospital. He did end up killing both of his parents.
That's not how I want to start my Monday off. I woke up this morning. I said my prayers. I rode in listening to Oprah Super Soul podcast with Carl Lentz. I'm drinking my green tea. I ain't got time for this right now.
You know, people didn't know what was going on at first. They thought it was just a random shooting on campus when this all went down. So that's when it was discovered.
That don't even sound right. A random shooting on campus. Like, no, like, nobody should be used to that at this point. Like, our mouths should never work to say a random shooting on campus.
Well, they were scared given everything that has just happened as of late in Parkland, Florida and everything. So people were scared. This was another student just shooting people randomly.
That's the sad part. Like, you hear about random shootings in, you know, places. But not on a campus. Like, it shouldn't be a random shooting at a campus or a church or any. Those are supposed to be sanctuaries.
Not at all.
All right, and speaking of Florida, father and daughter were arrested after they allegedly were having sex in their backyard with each other. Justin Bunn, who's 39 years old, and his 19-year-old daughter, Taylor Bunn, were taken into custody. Witnesses said they spotted them having sexual intercourse in the backyard.
That's his real daughter?
Why is this news?
Now, both the father and daughter did confess. They said it was consensual, but it was an isolated incident. They were arrested on incest charges.
This is on brand for Florida. Listen, what does your Uncle Sharla always tell y'all, and what have I been telling y'all for years? The craziest people in the world come from the Bronx and all of Florida. I know Atlanta got Florida Man now, so y'all gonna say Donald Glover is putting the light on Florida, but Florida been crazy.
My goodness.
Okay? We know this.
All right. Well, that's front page news. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a bad weekend, a horrible weekend, and you need to vent. Or if you just want to spread some positivity, get it off your chest. All right? 800-585-1051. Call us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Get it. Pick up the mother phone and dial.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy.
Yeah. Hello, who's this?
Hey, what's up? It's L'Oreal.
Hey, L'Oreal.
L'Oreal that work at the juice bar with Angela Yee. Is your L'Oreal Yee?
No. I love you guys.
Good morning. We'll get you off your chest, mama.
I'm very upset right now. That's why I'm calling.
Why are you upset, boo?
I feel blessed because I'm alive. I'm on my way to work. But just hearing about the young man that killed his parents, I lost my mom in October, and I'll do anything to have her here with me. Mm-hmm. So when I hear about stuff like that, it just really makes me upset and kind of emotional, you know? Like,
I can totally understand why you feel that way.
The world is so crazy. Yeah.
I can understand why you feel that way. The things that people take for granted, other people are dying to have.
Absolutely.
Yes. Dying to have. And the fact that he's in a decent college, with parents that are willing to come and pick him up for spring break to spend time with him, regardless of his issues, shows that he had, you know, pretty decent parents.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I like how you said regardless of the issues.
So ungrateful about things that some people would die to have, you know?
I love how you said regardless of the issues, because I'm the same way. I try to avoid crazy. I wouldn't care if that crazy came in the form of my own children. I would not be around them.
Well, I'm sorry you lost your mom, Mama.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I love you guys, though. Keep doing it. We just got y'all in the Carolina. I'm from New York originally, but I've been down here for about 10 years. And when I heard you guys were going to be on the radio here, I was just so happy. Because
where you at?
Radio before y'all. I'm in Whiteville, North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm from Brooklyn. So when I heard you guys were coming, I got really excited because radio before you guys is pretty whack.
Well, thank you, Mama.
We're happy to be there.
No shade.
Well, thank you, Mama. Have a good week.
Y'all too. Love you guys.
She must listen to us on Choice 92.1 in Fayetteville. Salute to Raleigh Dorn, Fayetteville.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning, Angela. How are you?
My goodness. Oh, my gosh. Is this Snack Man?
It is Snack Man.
Yeah, all right. So, I'm going to get ready.
Hold on. Snack Man's about to tell us a joke.
Snack Man's the Angela Yee's resident comedian.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cheer him on.
Yeah. Well, hold on. You want to do this now or you want to do this next week?
Next week.
All right, I'll call you next week.
Wait, what happened?
Snack Man, you on drugs, bro. Something wrong with you, yo. Like, you need to really
I'm going to Florida next week, yo. I'm going to call you next week, guys.
That's where you need to go. You need to live in Florida permanently.
Week.
You act like you're from Florida.
Thank you so much. Have a great week.
All right. Act like you're from Florida.
WMDC signing off.
All right, Snack Man.
Was that a joke?
Snack Man. Talk to him next week, I guess.
He either from the Bronx or he act like he need to move to Florida.
Hello, who's this?
This is Devon from Corona.
What's up, bro? Queens, get it off your chest.
Yeah, basically, I have a problem with girls who always sit here and they tell you basically how, like, they sugarcoat crap about them liking you. Like, the other day, I got the line, we'll see. And basically, all you got to do is just tell me, no, I ain't interested. I don't want to go out or nothing like that. So, for all those ladies out there, you need to start telling men the truth and stop lying because, you know, that's when stupid stuff happens.
What you mean, whoa. What you mean that's when stupid stuff happens? Is that a threat, sir?
That's not a threat, Uncle Charlotte. You already know that's not a threat.
So what are you saying? Yeah. What stupid stuff could happen?
You know, like, Missy, all right. So, for instance, if you don't like a guy, pretty much, you're going to tell him straight up you don't like him. You're not going to say, we'll see, or, you know, like, well, like, I want to, like, you want to, you're not going to say that you want to go out with him. You're not going to sugarcoat. You're going to tell him flat out, no. You're not going to say, we'll see.
Well, or, maybe like, she's not sure.
You're just not sure. Like, okay, straight up, like, if you're not sure, like, what would make you sure of it?
This attitude ain't gonna get it done.
I know. You know how many relationships started with a girl wasn't too sure if she wanted to go out with the guy and then they ended up being in a relationship?
No, I'm saying, like, if she knows automatically from, like, the jump that she's not gonna want to date him, that she's unattractive.
Maybe she's just playing hard to get, sir. And maybe you need to just have a little bit more confidence in your follow-up.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh, no, I'm confident in my follow-up. It's just that I don't have time to wait.
You need to be arrested. I think we need to arrest you now before you make a mistake. I'm going to be honest.
You sound a little cray-cray.
Too crazy. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Queen God DJ Envy. This Fred from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, checking in with you.
What's up, Fred?
Good morning. I want to say happy Monday, y'all. I got a problem. This really is an Ask Ye question, but y'all ain't going to answer for me, so I had to get it in right now. Uncle Shala, are you listening, sir? Good morning, sir.
Yes, sir, I'm listening. Good morning. What's happening, brother?
Went to the bar Saturday night, Uncle Shala. Y'all know I'm single. I'm out here looking for Poom Poom. I don't know what to do. Went to the bar, saw a yellow chick. She's yellow and thick. That's how I like them. Slid down on her. Got to talking to her. I get a tap on the shoulder. Guess who behind me?
Her man.
A stud. Her girlfriend.
Oh.
The girlfriend told me, what you doing talking to my girl ready to beat me up? I almost got beat up by a stud Saturday night, Uncle Charlotte. I don't know what to do. I'm trying to get Poom Poom. If I can't get it from a man, can't get it from a woman, what do I do, sir?
First of all, there's millions of women across the planet. You just happen to run into one of them that's in a relationship. That's
did
all.
Did you just say I can't get it from a man?
Why, you couldn't find it? You looking for a man or a woman?
Yes, ma'am, I did. I did say that.
Okay, so you're open to dating men and women.
Well, at this stage of the game, Miss G, what do I do? I need to keep my knee pads
on. So you got mad options. Where do you live at, sir?
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Milwaukee.
You know who he is.
Maybe you need to drive to Chicago.
He calls from Milwaukee all the time.
Maybe you need to drive over to Chicago, drive over to Indiana. All I'm basically telling you is there's a lot of options out there.
Yeah, you got men or women if you're into it, man.
Well, God, y'all need to get me up there and help me out. I need to get up there so I can get some help.
Nah, we good.
Nah, we good.
We good. But
you have a... Keep shooting your shot.
Yes, a lot of men and women out here. It's a lot of different places you can put your ball. It's a lot of different baskets to fill.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning, Andy. It's Aisha from the Bronx.
Hey.
Good morning, Angela.
Hey, mama.
Good morning, Aisha.
Good morning, crazy girl from the Bronx.
Hey, get it off your chest.
Oh, whatever. I'm so blessed this morning because last night I had a wonderful dream about Clifford Smith, a.k.a. Method Man. He's my celebrity crush. I've loved him since I was 14 years old. And we were on a picnic in Central Park. And I just woke up in a good mood, so I'm blessed. That means my week is going to be good, right or wrong?
Well, that's really sweet, and it was just his birthday as well.
I don't know if that's good, because he's married.
We were on a picnic for his birthday, so I think that's a little hint, right?
So you had a picnic with Method Man. You dreamed that you was having a picnic with Method Man on his birthday.
In Central Park.
Correct. Central Park, we had the balloons, we had, you know, God, we had everything he liked, you know, at the park.
So this was very, very detailed.
I see.
One day y'all going to listen to me when I tell y'all that the craziest people come from the Bronx and all of Florida. One day y'all gonna listen to Uncle Charlamagne.
Hello, who's this?
How you doing? This is Danielle from the Bronx.
Hey, crazy Danielle from the Bronx.
Get it off your chest.
The Bronx is heavy in here this morning.
I'm just calling in today because I'm saying I'm blessed. I have my two kids. I had to leave one of my jobs that I was there for a couple years, and I was out of work for a little bit. Now I have a job working overnight and a job I love, and okay. I get to be there for my kids every step of the way without any interruption.
There you
That's
go.
That's awesome.
Well, congratulations.
Well, happy Monday.
That's the least craziest thing I've heard from the Bronx in a long time.
Thank you, Mama.
Thank you.
All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. You can tell us why you're mad or tell us why you're blessed. Now, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, we'll talk about Rick Ross. Now, Rick Ross was trending all weekend. We'll give you an update on his health and what people who are close to him are saying.
All right. We'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
All right. No Limit Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
Good morning.
Good morning. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Rick Ross.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yo.
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, it was reported that Rick Ross was on life support. Now, there's conflicting reports that are out. He did, in fact, go to the hospital, and they said he was hooked up to some machine that's used to oxygenate your blood outside of your body before it's pumped back into the body. Now, other people are saying that he is fine and that he never was on life support at all. He also posted on Instagram yesterday as well, just a picture of his Rolex and some jewelry and put Florida boy. So apparently it looks like he's going to be okay, but we don't know exactly what went wrong with him. Yeah, so.
You know, the internet will try to kill you. You know, it's funny because when I first heard that story, I hit Ross. People were like, yo, Ross good? And they're like, yeah, he good. You know, but then you start seeing all his reports that he's on life support. And you're asking yourself, well, who should I believe, the internet or his family?
And I think I should
believe his family.
But I think it's also hard, too, because sometimes you also don't want to put that out there if you don't even know what's going on yet. And you don't want everybody to be all in the mix. I think something like this is so personal.
Everybody's so quick to want the story. Everybody wants a story. Everybody wants to be first. Everybody wants to get those hits, those clicks, that they're not even really doing accurate information to see what's really wrong with the brother.
Now, Fat Gleesh had posted, just talked to my big homie. He good. He in the hospital, but he is not on life support. He's good. So we'll take the word of the people that are around him.
Well, salute to the homie Rick Ross, man.
Absolutely.
All
good
right,
brother.
Now let's talk about the Oscars last night. Did you guys have a chance to watch the Oscars?
I did. You know what? Because I wanted to see Mary J. Blige perform, which I got to see.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to see Tiffany Haddish present, which I got to see. And I wanted to see if Jordan Peele was going to win anything, which I did see him win Best Screenplay.
All right, well, let's talk about Jimmy Kimmel because he did host this year. So see if you thought he was funny. He did address Harvey Weinstein in this way.
The Academy kicked him out, and after they did, I was curious, so I looked it up. You know, the only other person to be expelled from the Academy ever was a character actor named Carmine Caridi. In 2004, he was kicked out for sharing screeners. Carmine Caridi got the same punishment as Harvey Weinstein for giving his neighbor a copy of Seabiscuit on VHS.
Now, he also talked about Black Panther and Wonder Woman. Here's Jimmy Kimmel.
The success of Black Panther is one of many positive stories this year, especially for African Americans and Bob Iger. Black Panther and Wonder Woman were massive hits, which is almost miraculous because I remember a time when the major studios didn't believe a woman or a minority could open a superhero movie. And the reason I remember that time is because it was March of last year.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel was a solid host, stating a lot of obvious truths. He's just regurgitating what people have been trying to tell Hollywood forever, though, and that's that diversity works.
All right, now, Ryan Seacrest was also on hand, and Taraji P. Henson spoke to him. You know, there were these allegations against him, and the woman who has accused him of sexual misconduct did not file a police report or lawsuit. They're saying it was because of the statute of limitations. But on Ryan Seacrest's side, they're saying that she was demanding $15 million for her to not put out this press release. Well, here's what Taraji had to say.
She is having such
an amazing year.
I mean, I'm just, and she exudes it. She feels it. She looks it.
You know what? The universe has a way of taking care of the good people. You know what I mean?
I agree.
I didn't understand that because everybody was saying that Taraji Crest, Ryan Seacrest. That made no sense to me.
I thought she was actually supporting.
Yeah, exactly.
Support to
if
me.
Taraji, she rubbed him on the chin. If Taraji had said the universe has a way of giving you the karma you deserve. And that's different.
She said taking care of good people.
Exactly. She rubbed him on the chin and said, take care of good people.
And Mary J. Blige also spoke out on and said that she loves Ryan Seacrest and she doesn't know the whole truth of what happened. So that's what she had to say. We'll give you some more on the Oscars in the next Rumor Report.
But isn't that the way it should be, though?
What's that?
Like, if somebody has allegations and somebody's saying, no, that's not what happened, shouldn't he still be continued to work?
Yeah, until found guilty.
Until found guilty,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree. All right, well, thank you for those rumors, Yee. Now, when we come back, Tory Lanez will be joining us. We'll kick it with Tory Lanez, so don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ NV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Mr. Yeah. Tory Lanez is here.
What's going on, everybody?
Sophomore album, Memories Don't Die. Yeah. Tell me what that title means, man.
Basically, it stems from, like, a summer that I had a long time ago, probably when I was about 16, 17. And, like, I remember my friends had betrayed me this summer. I was in a little bit of a situation, and I remember just seeing my friends, and they ain't helped me in the situation that I was in.
Like a fight or something?
Something like that. I kind of got, like, just trying to rush me. So something, just basically what it was just the symbolicness of the situation of just my friends not helping me and being betrayed like that. It kind of, like, pushed me away from just hanging out with people in general and that like, you had to kind of put new trust in.
Mm.
And I kind of just said, like, I'm going to just do music, and It's a blessing that becomes something I always think back about. Like, I'm glad that this kind of happened, because if it didn't, I wouldn't have been focused enough to care so much about my own shit, you know?
Because I see you got the record also, Old Friends, New Foes.
Yes.
Yeah, you say old friends become strangers, new friends become dangerous.
Yeah.
Explain that new friends become dangerous line. Because I get the old friends thing, why they become strangers.
Yeah, I mean, I think new friends become dangerous because sometimes you, like, you know, when you are somebody of some sort of situation or some sort of stature, people, you know, you don't know what people are your friends for.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what is your ulterior motive? Everybody in some sort of way, it's like, it's human nature to think for your own benefit.
Or
in a weird way, you know what I'm saying?
They said, if you can't be used, you're useless.
Yeah, but it's kind of true, but it's just like, because of that, it's kind of like, I'm kind of standoffish about just putting new friends in my circle like that, because I'd rather rock with
motives.
The dudes I've been rocking with for years, mm-hmm. like, and you just never know nobody's ulterior motives, like you said.
Do you have more female friends or more male friends?
I got more male friends. I can't really say and just be like, yo, I have a bunch of female friends. Because, like, I don't think I've ever had really, like, a lot of female friends. Like, if you was, like, a female that I was talking to as a friend out, like, we was trying to, we was fucking, like, you know
That's
what I'm saying?
Crazy.
That's crazy, because I got more female friends.
Yeah, because, like,
female friends than guy friends.
Girls, I love talking to girls. I love, like, you know what I'm saying, being around them. I love everything about women, like, but at the same time, I just, for some reason, I guess maybe because I'm just a charming dude, and a lot of the girls that, like, I'm friends with are,
who the hell said you charming, Tori?
Me.
You know what I'm saying? I'm a charming dude.
I'm a charming dude. Like, nah, because, like, I can adapt to situations. Like I said, I love all types of girls. I love all women. But I think, like, every time I've been, like, in a situation with a girl, it's like, we'll start off friends,
mm-hmm.
Because I'm mad cool. Like, I'm real down to earth. I'm not a kid. Like, we'll start off cool, but it's like either she'll like me or it's like I just never had a... Maybe like 2, 3, 4, 5 girls in my life that are just like
just cool,
cool people.
And like, no, you know nothing, like no attraction. Like,
maybe we was attracted, but it just didn't go right or it just never worked out. And so we just ended up really calling it like, you know, like,
why,
cool people.
Why are guys so trusting over new people, though? Like, you don't trust a new dude. You won't let a new dude come to your house. But a girl you meet in the club that night, you'll probably take to your crib.
Cause, but you gotta understand, it's a lot of maneuvers that go on. It's a lot of maneuvers when a girl's going to see. I just still won't bring certain girls to my crib like that.
But
regardless.
You're going to bring a woman
I'm from,
to
first
a
of all, I'm from Toronto. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm from a city of where a lot of girls. We have these girls they call setup chicks. They mm-hmm. just all they do is just setting up all day. And
those all over the world.
Yeah,
right. But see, it's like it's a specific like group of girls. Like, it's like yo, da 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 da. I'm sure you have.
They line you up.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I feel like in a lot of places you don't learn that stuff till you're like older, but because of the roots of like all the Caribbean mm-hmm. like lessons, like you learn these things from very young.
That's a fact.
You know what I'm saying? Younger than I think we were supposed to learn these things, so it became more of a habitual way of thinking, if you will. You know what I'm saying? Like I gotta think like this, and that's kind of how we looked at it. You know?
So. You mentioned Charlamagne in the song
Benevolent.
Benevolent on the album.
Yeah,
we talked about that because he did give you Donkey of the Day. Gave
me Donkey of the Day.
And you went right back and did the same thing you got Donkey for.
Well, listen, he addresses spending $35,000 in the Gucci store. You said that they were being racist towards you, so you spent the money. But then on the song, you said you went back the very next day and did it again. Why would you spend your money with a racist?
This is what happened. I had a budget for wardrobe for a video. Mm-hmm. When I spend money, I get reimbursed. You get what I'm saying? Because these are budgets for real things. Mm-hmm. So if they give me a budget to say it's $30,000 or it's whatever the case is for wardrobe, I'm gonna spend the budget on wardrobe.
But it's still your money.
But why
am I not with your license, right?
But it's budgeted for that. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's put here so I can make it the best that I can make it. I can make it all it can be. So at the end of the day, look, boom. I walk into the store. There's a guy there. White guy, old, probably in his 40s, whatever. The guy kind of give me this look because I'm in sweats. And like, I'm just in like, I come off the tour bus. It's like, I'm on like, it's like the 40th day of tour. I don't really care about nothing. I'm just trying to go get some gear for the video, whatever case is. I walk in. At one point, then he comes up to me and he says, oh, do you need any help? And I say, nah, I'm gonna bring this to this guy over here. Because it was a younger dude over there. Because I know at the end of the day, y'all get some sort of store credit
commission.
Off of this.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all get commission off of this. If we're about to spend a bag in here and you just looked at me crazy, but I have to still spend a bag in here because, first of all, we're in Canada. This is the whole Renfrew is the place to go get designer things. If you're looking at me and there's a problem, man, okay, cool. I'm going to just take the business to somebody else who can get the store credit who deserves it, who's going to take me to the right places, who's going to bring me to the right parts of the department store, who's going to treat me like a good customer no matter what I'm with.
So it was nothing against the brand. It's just against that one.
It was against
employee.
The one guy. And it didn't even have nothing to do with, like a lot of people try to spin it on, like, a white and black thing. But it wasn't a white and black thing. It was just like, yo, you specifically just, you know, kind of profiled me of whoever I was. I don't even think it was just a black thing. It was probably just how I was dressed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just like sometimes people come to the store and they waste those people's time
all
the
time. Treat everybody the same, like, and you could have made the commission.
No, yeah, I hate that. This question, they're going to get mad at me for asking this, but you sure it wasn't in your head?
I mean, listen.
Because you say he didn't say nothing to you.
No. But see, it's a certain look. It's a certain body language. It's a certain... You know, it's a certain look. It's a certain thing about it. And at the end of the day, like, but I don't take things like that to it's only because I'm black. No, it's not that. Sometimes, you know, I don't come as presentable as I should come because I feel like I should just feel comfortable in whatever I'm wearing at the time. Like,
I usually think that people that don't come dressed that well are the ones that spend the most money. I feel
exactly.
Like sometimes when people get, like, dressed up and go shopping.
First of all, rich white people be bummy as hell.
Yeah.
I just feel like at the end of the day, you're liable to wear whatever you want. You're supposed to feel comfortable. But anyways, I was going there to spend the money. I don't have a stylist. I dress myself. Mm-hmm. Every time you see me, I dress myself. I don't have
no... So were you mad when you got Donkey of the Day? Because a lot of people get upset about it.
Nah, I don't get upset about it. I love Charlamagne. Like, I love his view on things.
I'm a little different because I would have took it out on the whole store. If the dude was a dickhead, ain't none of them getting my money.
Yeah, but if somebody else is nice to you that works there...
I get it.
Then...
Charlamagne, take it in. You have an obligation, Charlamagne, that you have to do. if you have a video shoot that is going to allot you to making more money in the future, this guy's attitude is not important enough for you to not shop at the only store that sells what you want to get for this video that's going to allot you more money.
He knew what he wanted.
I am a businessman, and when it comes to more money, I'm trying to get more money. Mm-hmm. Period, point blank.
All right, we got more with Tory Lanez when we come back. We'll talk about him writing for other artists and more. Keep it locked, Tory Lanez. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Tory Lanez is here. Charlamagne?
Let's address something else. You know, last time you was here, I said that I don't think you have your own sound. But over time, like I saw, I even heard you say on the new album, you say a lot of rap and R&B popped off your sound. And then I saw somebody say something to you about sounding like Travis Scott, and you was like, how can I sound like somebody I write for? You know, so is that why you think people think you don't have your own sound, because you write for so many people, so you share your wave?
I think that earlier parts of my career, when I was just the hook guy and I was behind the scenes and I was giving everybody the records, I feel like there was just a lot of innovative sounds that I created, and I was like, I put in place of people, and it's like they ran with it.
So we heard them first, and then we heard
you. Them first because they had more clout than me. And the thing about it was because I was so good at writing these songs, when they pop with these sounds, it's like you're popping with my sound. I'll feed it to you because I need the bread. I'll feed it to you, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll give you all the hooks in the lane. I'll write all your songs in the lane. I'll write, you know, I'm not talking about Travis Scott. And that's another thing, like, the reason why I said that whole, like, I can't sound like anybody I wrote for is because there's a lot of people that in that time, remember, you was like, yo, you sound like this guy and third guy, whatever cases, but you was just saying, like, you know, I sound like a list of people, whatever the cases, and
Betty
I was
Wild,
just like,
Bryson Tiller.
But just a lot of people, and I felt like it was one of those situations where it's like, I kind of, you remember, I've been doing this, like, before I had heard of these people. Anything is wrong with anybody or whatever the cases, but a lot of these people that people were mentioning at the time, and not even just you, but just a lot of people were mentioning, it was like, yo, I wrote mad records for this guy sound like me because I wrote it.
Now see, I didn't know that, and I
like, you know what I'm saying
that.
Like, you know what I'm talking about, like, you know what I'm saying, like, I'm not a credit whore. Mm-hmm. I don't need like,
do artists get upset if you say that you wrote for them? Because sometimes people don't really,
I mean,
because
the thing about it is like this, like for instance, like me and Travis' situation is a little bit different. With him, there was a record that had got done by, I guess it was like a T.I. record for T.I.'s mixtape at one point. It was T.I., Meek, and Travis. And it was a record, I mean, like a beat that somebody had given to me and I had did the hook for, and somehow, some way, it got, I guess, to Meek and T.I., and they put Travis on the hook. I don't even think, like, looking at it now and like, knowing the situation, knowing from Travis's standpoint, I don't even think he wanted to sing the hook. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know that in the time. But I remember he sung the hook, so I looked at it like, yo, you sung my record. I wrote it. I don't care what you're talking about. Like, I wrote it. Like,
so they looked at it like it was a reference track, and then he just took the hook that you did and redid it, but didn't even look at it.
But he was just like, I was just doing a favor for them. Right. Like, I didn't, like, bro, I write all my own shit. Like, you know that, Tory. And I was like, I had to agree with him. Like, he does write all his own shit. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, when we got over that standpoint and talking about that situation, it's like, I get it from that. But my whole thing was just like, there was a lot of people who were singing my hooks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Were singing my verses, were taking styles and running with them. Like, I'm a very innovative guy. I've made so many sounds and so many things that people never even heard. But that's life. You don't get the credit for everything you do. I'm not a credit whore. I don't need it.
So you didn't actually write for Travis?
I did. What do you mean? I wrote Brand New Chopper. At the end of the day, no offense, Travis, or whatever the case is, we've already spoke about this. But whether or not it was meant to happen or not, he still sang the verse. He still sang the hook,
right.
And I wrote that hook. Me, like, I take a standpoint on, I'm not singing another song. That's like wearing another's drawers. I'm not doing it.
The hell wears another drawers?
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? I'm just not. I don't want to do it. Like, you know, it's crazy. Bryson Tiller was the nigga who told me that. He told me that shit on the plane. He was like,
he told you never wear
like,
drawers.
He was just like, yo, I feel like when, you know, singing another writer's song is like, it's like wearing another nigga's drawers. And it made so much sense to me.
But people
like,
do it all the time.
Of course. Don't get me wrong. Like, I've still have records where people have contributed mm-hmm. to it in, like, a certain part or whatever the case is. And, like, as a vibe, as we're building, of course, I'm always down for suggestions and things like that. And even, like, I'm always down for, like, trying to tap into people's world as well. But when it comes down to just letting somebody do the work for me, no, there's no fun in that. I love music. Like, I'm not doing that. Like, I loved it too much. I'll die for this. When it comes to this and God, like, there's only two things I'll die for. Like, that's it. Like,
question my for son you, and Bryson. Wouldn't you have to have worn another drawers to know what it feel like?
My nigga, I'm gonna be a G. Like, in my hood times, I've definitely had to wear other drawers, bro. If a nigga's gonna say, laugh at me, oh, this fuck out of here, man. You've just never had no hard times, man.
I ain't never been that poor. I ain't gonna lie to you. I've been poor, but I ain't been that poor.
I've been broke, man. What you talking about, man? I had to been broke.
Like a family boxes, member? Got
same clothes for a week. Boxes, I had to turn them inside out. Got them, been broke, man. Been super broke.
You had a brother or somebody? Or?
I'm the youngest of six kids. I learned to share.
Oh, okay.
And that's why memories don't die.
Yeah.
I learned to share, bro. Like, at the end of the day, like, and I have no shame in that. Like at the end of the day, I'll never have no shame in what I came from. Like, I came from sleeping on the bed, one up, one down. I'm all sleeping by a man's feet, fam.
When that you saying you ain't another draw is definitely going to be a little loop. We're going to loop that.
Loop that. I don't give a fuck. All too bitter in a hard type of situation or in a life where your shit wasn't just granted to you, my you can relate. Like, if you had never wore your siblings' draws, my I don't know. Then I don't know what kind of, like.
No, that is cool.
That's crazy.
That makes sense.
But sometimes me and my friends, like, being as a young kid, like I'm not saying we sitting here switching dirty drawers. Nah, but we talking about, like, if all the drawers is washed, but those are your friends' drawers, but you still wearing them. It's like, that's sometimes you gotta just wait. You gotta do what you gotta do. Like, I'm not sitting here saying, like, yo, take off your drawers, fam, and give them to me. like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying that. Like, you know what I mean?
On Pieces, you sample Nas The Message.
I sampled Sting.
Oh, okay, so maybe Nas sampled Sting.
Yes, yeah. Nas actually sampled Sting.
Okay, got you.
It was crazy. What it was, he was just like, yo, if y'all gonna do the song, like, y'all have to use the original version. And I remember putting the original version in, and I remember it sounded a little different, but I was like, it sounds like darker and more open. And because of what the song was and what the song dealt with, like the girl being a rape victim and her uncle was who raped her and the fact that she killed her uncle, like just the whole song, and she had to raise the uncle's son. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
okay, you just f***ed me up because I was going to ask you what the story was.
Oh, see, she didn't get to really listen.
I only heard it once. I thought it was a mother, son.
There's a song on the album with me and 50 Cent. It's called Pieces. The song is about a girl. She's from Brooklyn. And her mom was a junkie. Her dad got taken to jail. And she had an uncle who was, like, made to raise her. So, basically, the uncle was raising her. The uncle got, like, with this chick who put him up on, like, drugs and shit. He was on mad drugs, and he rapes the girl. And, like, her whole life, like, she couldn't get it out of her head that this raped her. Like, feel me? And so, boom, one day she starts rocking with some that really get it in like that. And one day they like, yo, you should just off the. You can't live with it like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? So she runs in the house and often the has a son, which is technically, I think, her cousin at this point, right? She ends up having to raise the son. But the son, his whole life, he grows up and he's like, I want to find out who killed my father.
Right, that's crazy.
Like, and his whole thing is, it's like, I have to find out who killed my father. So then, like, it goes into this whole other story, which I got to go listen to the album.
It's a great record. I was going to ask you, was it a true story? But clearly it's not.
There's some bits and pieces that are true, but I couldn't go all the way into the deepness. That would just be OD.
That's crazy.
I wouldn't even do that to her.
You need to write a screenplay, young man.
Yeah.
Well, that was the thing. Honestly, that was why me and 50 had related to the song so much, because what I've learned about him, when he came to the studio and I was playing him the records, he was like, yo, I want to hear, like, something that's, like, a little bit more introspective or something that, like, you have that's not, like, the single or whatever case. I was like, yo, I got this story. Boom, and I played it. And then I started explaining, because I hadn't did the second verse yet. Like, when the son was looking for the killer, I hadn't did that verse yet. So he was like, yo, I want to jump on this, and I want to add to the story. And I was like, cool. He sent the verse back, and it was like, it sounded like he was, like, narrating the story. But we kind of had this whole cinematic look on the whole thing, because it was such a story, and it felt like such a screenplay. Now, me and him had already came together and were like, yo, we want to do something as far as along the lines of cinema, as far as like us doing like a movie or something like that. And so I was like, well, I'm shooting a movie for this album, for I Told You in Memories Don't Die. put together. So the movie's actually called I Told You Memories Don't Die. He's going to be a character in it now. So he's going to be in the movie as well. So we were already like, yo, if you're already going to be in the movie, it would be dope to have you on a storytelling track like this, like where it's like real intricate and like you got to get real deep with it. So that's what made that whole situation happen and like why it worked out like that.
All right, we'll kick it with Tory Lanez some more. Let's get into a Tory Lanez mini mix. Check it out. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was a Tory Lanez mini mix. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Tory Lanez is here. Yee.
Isn't it nice to not have the distraction of people asking you about Drake all the time now? Like before,
yeah, cool.
When you did your first run, first album around, everybody was like, oh, y'all beefing. But it's nice.
That was halfway my fault. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not going to lie.
Technically, like, you're still asking him about Drake.
I know. But it's not the same.
That was a smooth way of bringing it in, though. I ain't going to lie. Like, I looked at it like...
It's not the same conversation.
Nah, but I feel you. Nah, but honestly, I mean, that's halfway my fault. You know what I'm saying? I think I made a couple of immature decisions when I was first coming out, just out of the... My whole thing in my life and my whole career is, like, I just felt like my whole thing is I always had to prove people wrong. Like, I have little nigga syndrome. You know, little nigga always feel like he got to be... Nah, you're not going to punk me because I'm small, my nigga. I've had that my whole life, so it translates into my music. You're not going to punk me, my point blank period. And when I say punk me, I don't even mean like in a physical manner. You know what I'm saying? I mean like you're not gonna punk me as far as like who you're trying to make me seem to be. I'm confident in the person I am. I know what my purpose is. I know I'm here to do incredible things.
And one lesson learned is sometimes a simple conversation could squash everything.
Exactly.
In general.
Exactly.
Who extended the olive branch first?
What you mean?
Between you and Drake, like who reached out first?
It was actually through our friends. It was through Trav and Chubbs, and I think they were talking, and they had, they had their little conversation or whatever the case is. And Trav is like this, that. We was riding bikes together to Subway, and like sleeping in the same room on twin beds. Like, you dig what I'm saying? And like, it wasn't even broke. We was just in like one of those situations. You know what I'm saying? So I knew him for so long.
What situation?
Charlamagne. Yo, we just know each other for a long time. So when Trav's talking to me sometimes, I know it's not from a place of like, yo, you're popping out, so I'm trying to feed you some information. He hit me up and was just like, yo, like y'all don't want to make no money. What did y'all have a physical? Like, are you gonna boom him when you see him? It's like, do y'all like? Is it that deep? And then I had to think about it. Like, is it that deep? It's really not that deep. And then it's like, if it's not as deep as, like, I'm going to boom him or he's going to boom me when we see each other.
That Toronto slang for, like, somebody up?
That's regular slang for we're going to shoot each other when we see each other. Like, I'm not going to boom you when I see you, and you're not going to boom me when you see me because it was never that deep in the first place. All right, let's hop on the phone as two men's, and let's just figure this shit out. Like, because it's probably not that deep.
And it wasn't.
It was not that deep. You know what I'm saying?
How'd that affect your relationship with, like, Meek?
It didn't. I told Meek, I think it was either the day before or the day after. I was just like, yo, man, I'm about to solve my issue with the homeboy and all that. You know what I'm saying? With the bro. Because at the end of the day, like, our situation is a lot different. You dig what I'm saying? And he was like, what the fuck? You should have been to that. What are you even calling me for? You know what I'm saying? Like, but I was just like, yo, you know what I'm saying? I'm just letting you know as a person that I make music with and a person that's, like, my friend. Like, you know what I'm saying? This is what's going on. Like, you know, so you're not caught off guard or it's not some whatever the case is. And I think it just was what it was. And
Drake been showing Meek love. I'm showing Meek come home and that's going to be daddy.
Over, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's that deep of an issue, but that's between them two.
You say on the album, too, you say you may have f***ed it up with Nicki before the album. Now, is that an ex or is it Nicki Minaj?
Talking about Nicki Minaj. I she was originally on Shooters. And Nicki was on Shooters. She did an incredible verse, and I was asking her something about like the verse about changing something around because of where it placed the hook at in the song or whatever. And I think because we were talking over text, and I think like through the text, it kind of just came off the wrong way. Maybe came off like I was trying to critique her verse or something like that.
So what if you were?
I mean, whatever. And I think she just didn't. Wasn't really rocking with it, and she was just like, you know,
she didn't take
my verse off the song.
I'm not clearing it.
She was very nice. She was just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if it's something like that, like, I'd rather just not, this is probably just not the project. Like, you know what I'm saying? This is not the song, you know what I'm saying? And
you didn't feel like, well, I'll just leave it how it is then? Or, because I'm sure you wanted to have that verse on there still.
I did, but at the end of the day, like,
I didn't want to, I felt like I'd already kind of crossed the line as far as just me even saying what I said to her, and I didn't want her to feel uncomfortable with the record. So I just was just like, all right, I'll delete it. Like, simple and plain. I'm not a reacher. I'm not going to sit here and reach after someone tells me I don't want participation. You know what I'm saying? As much as I'm a super fan of Nicki, I love Nicki. She's been in my life for a long time. Like, as far as the music, mm-hmm. as far as every ex-girl that I had was a Barbie at some point, was cut, had the bangs,
yeah.
and you know what I'm saying, at some point. So, I love her for that, but it's just one of those situations where as much as I'm a Nicki fan, like, I love my music as well, and I never want to force something that's not organic, you know?
If someone asked you to change something, would you don't get offended by that if you send something into somebody and they're like, well, can you move this around, or do you understand?
I mean, but I'm also not at the point of my career that Nicki is. Nicki's mm-hmm. at a very big place in her career, and I think
that. I mean, she's above critique, though.
I'm not saying she is above critique, but at the same time, maybe you just don't need to hear critique from a Nicki that's at my part of my career.
But if you're trying to make the best possible record,
and that's a cool way of looking at it from my standpoint. But at the same standpoint, I gotta look at it from her standpoint. Like, right. Whatever million sold that she has, right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I get it.
By the way, you know that's when you start falling off, and that's when your music gets whack, when you stop being coachable. Like, this should never be a point where somebody can't tell you something about your music.
But I'm not going to sit there and say she's not coachable, because I don't know what she does and what and who helps her or whatever the case is or whatever she does when she's by herself in a room by herself. Maybe that was just the situation, and through text, maybe it came off way differently than maybe in her mind it came off way differently, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, sometimes people read texts in a different tone than the
I'm not gonna lie, like, there's been a lot of times I've sent people texts and then like we'll be arguing over the text, like, yo, my dad seriously just sent me that, and it's like it's not even that deep, like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying?
You haven't talked to her since then?
No, I spoke to her after that, and I was just like, yo, you know, my apologies, whatever the case is. That's why I said I may have fucked it up, well, like, just in case anything was ever permanent, or maybe she feels like a permanent way about it. You know, I just want to let her know it's not no ill intention. It is what it is. Like, I'm still a fan and everything else.
Do you feel like you're an all-time hated, like you say, on Don't Die?
Of course, man. Hate me, man. I just know, like, I know that I always know that the cards are kind of, like, against me in a weird way. And, like, I shine in the times that the cards are against me. Like, I'm a fourth quarter.
Right. Back against, you know what the wall, saying? Breakthrough.
I love being in the fourth quarter. I love when the pressure's high. I could finish a whole mixtape in 2 days because, and I can't finish, even if I couldn't finish the whole mixtape in a month, in the last 2 days is when I will start wild and shit up. I'm one of those guys. In the time of pressure, I love being in that situation, and I feel like a lot of people are kind of on southpaw, or they're on a different, unorthodox stance when it comes to that. And sometimes I poke at it.
Listening to the Joe Budden podcast, and he was saying that they was asking if it's quiet for Tory Lanez.
Is it quiet for what? Like, y'all crazy? What artist you know can do what I fucking do? Like, I'm tired of just undermining that. I fucking sing the girls and make they be wet, and then go stand on it. I go stand on the whole fucking crowd. No security, shirt off, gorilla style. Put me down in the middle of this crowd. You can go on YouTube. You'll see this on many events. I'll be at festivals. 30,000 people. Put me down in the middle of this, dog. Don't touch me. Who do you know that commands that kind of attention, bro? Like, you gotta start giving this shit to me, because it's just one of them situations where it's like, and I hate to even come in here, like, that shit just took me off my cool, like, for a little second, but it's like, I hate to even come in and, like, act like this, but it's like, if you're somebody who just, you're not familiar with me, okay, cool. Just say, I'm not familiar with him, and that's what it is. But until you go really look at the deeper stats of me, bro, like, all the things that I've really done as far as, like, just phenomenal things that you'll remember.
Writing, production,
shows, songs, features, whatever it is, mm-hmm. just go look at the stats. Like, I'm consistent with my. Is it quiet for your podcast? Like, calm down. It's not like, calm down. You can't say questions like that. It's stupid. I mean, I get you try and get like a review or whatever the case is. I'm not even talking about just Joe. I'm talking about in general, because Joe's my man's. But I'm talking about just in general. Like, you can't even ask a stupid ass question like that. You hear the work that we're putting in. You don't see how hard we work, or you just don't care about that. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
There you go.
We're going to edit out that you wasn't talking about Joe. You're going to make that sound like a shot.
No, I'm just messing
with you. What you want to do? I have a good relationship with Joe. I always talk to him on the phone, and I love his opinion on things.
Well, I can give you, I'll give you five reasons to hate on him after the interview, but he's a good guy.
All right.
But Tory Lanez, Memories Don't Die is out right now. Thank you for coming, my brother.
Thank y'all so much. I appreciate you.
It's The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Jaden Smith.
It's time.
She's spilling the tea.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, Jaden Smith just recently did an interview with Complex, and he talked about no longer being able to be friends with people like Drake, Kanye West, and Donald Glover. He said, I always felt like a little homie before, and that allowed me in all of their circles. But now that I'm on the charts next to them, I'm not really little homie anymore. He said, it's more like you can't hang out with us anymore. We didn't know you were making an album this whole time. We thought you were just little homie giving us free water and ish. You're not really cool with us anymore. That's
really
interesting.
I'm surprised they would ever little homie him, though, especially being that he's Will and Jada's son. I would think they would always show him respect for that.
I mean, you show him respect.
Yeah,
he's still a little homie, though.
Disrespectful, I guess he's
just
younger.
Yeah, he's younger.
I wish I would go get water for somebody and I was Will and Jada's son. Hey, you fetch me some water.
Well, he has his own water company.
Oh.
With Will Smith. I'm pretty sure that's what he's referring to.
Yeah, that wasn't just go get him a cup of water.
Yeah, I thought they meant go get him a cup of water.
No.
Come on now. You're in the studio with us, Jay. Go get us a cup of water.
No.
You think that's true, though? You think they really don't want to hang out with him because they see him as competition now?
No, I don't think that's true.
Because they all kind of hang out with each other.
I don't think that's true.
All right. Now, Chanel Iman, congratulations. She got married over the weekend to Sterling Shepard. It was a four-month engagement. He proposed to her on her 27th birthday in December, and they started dating after meeting at Victor Cruz's birthday party in November of 2016. So really cute, the two of them. Congratulations.
That's dope. Congrats to them.
Yes, to Chanel Iman. Beautiful pictures, by the way, from their wedding, if you guys had a chance to see that. All right, Ava DuVernay did host a Wrinkle in Time screening in Compton. Now, they don't have a movie theater, but she still went ahead and did a great presentation. It was a theater experience with sound, fabulous sound and picture quality out of a community center since there's no movie theater. She said, I thank them, and these kids do too. She posted, I asked Disney if the first public screening of A Wrinkle in Time could be in my hometown of Compton. That's when they did create that theater experience.
We'll drop one of Clues Bombs, Ava DuVernay. Wrinkle in Time comes out on the 9th of March. I'm telling you, man, it's the perfect daddy-daughter date. I'm doing a screening on Wednesday here in New York, and it's going to be one big daddy-daughter date. It's for fathers and daughters.
All right, now, Michelle Obama, she will be in Oakland later on this month. And what they're saying is, it's called An Evening with Michelle Obama. They're saying the tickets start at $93.50, and they go all the way up to $3,150. That's for a VIP ticket. It's a 19,000-seat capacity arena. And if it does sell out completely, which it looks like is going to happen, then Michelle Obama will get more than $2 million from ticket sales alone.
Wow.
Yeah, so if you want to go see former First Lady Michelle Obama, she will be, again, at the Oracle Arena in Oakland, California.
And Michelle Obama, a party promoter now?
On March 28th.
Drop on the Clues Bombs with the First Lady out here promoting parties. When you see that float that's on a flyer, you better show up, goddamn.
Well, it's a moderated conversation.
Okay.
And she does have her memoir, Becoming, coming out. So it's part of a $65 million deal with Crown that also includes a book from former President Barack Obama that's going to hit stores in November.
Listen, get your money, First Lady. I feel like $2 million is a little too late, to be honest with you.
Well, it's just for one night.
Get a bigger venue.
It's just one night? She's just talking for, what, an hour? $2
million? Yeah.
Her life is amazing.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right. Charlamagne.
Yes.
Who are you giving that donkey to?
I'm going to be honest with you, man. I woke up this morning really confused because I'm seeing all of these headlines about Kobe Bryant and his sexual assault allegations resurfacing. And I just want to know why.
Why?
So I need the people that are resurfacing these allegations to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with them, please.
All right. We'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked.
And a discussion. Let's talk about it after I do what I do.
All right. Mr. Breakfast Club, good morning.
This don't be a donkey, because right now you want some real donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit me with the heat.
Did she get donkey today? Please tell me.
I have become donkey of the day.
At the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Let's go, Charlamagne!
Wow. very aggressive.
I know, man. Got to take Tyrese out. Donkey of the Day for Monday, March 5th goes out to everyone who was upset that Kobe Bryant won an Oscar last night for his short animated film he wrote and narrated called Dear Basketball. Let me tell you something. I am so sick of the court of public opinion, especially in this social media era, because there's absolutely nothing consistent about it. Well, I take that back. It's consistently hypocritical. They never keep the same energy, and Kobe Bryant is a prime example of that. I'm looking at the New York Daily News. I'm looking at the Metro. I'm looking at sites like Think Progress, and these are the headlines. Kobe Bryant wins Oscar despite sexual assault allegations. Kobe Bryant wins an Oscar despite past rape accusations. Hollywood started to take sexual assault seriously, then it gave Kobe Bryant an Oscar. The Washington Post has a headline that says, Oscar winner Kobe Bryant's sexual allegations resurface in the Me Too era. Honestly, it was talked about so much that I thought Kobe Bryant had just caught some new charges that I wasn't aware of. A podcaster named Am Not Too So tweeted out, people say that rape allegations will ruin a man's life, but here is Kobe winning an Oscar in front of my own eyes.
I'm Not Too So.
What is it? I'm Not Too So?
Yeah, I do a podcast for her State Farm.
I'm Not Too So. Good morning, I'm Not Too So. The key word in that tweet should be allegations. But the word allegations allegedly means nothing anymore. It's just a way for a person to paint a narrative about you and not get sued for it. All right, Dana Swartz, an Entertainment Weekly correspondent, tweeted, so we're all just ignoring the whole Kobe rape accusation thing, I guess, huh? Like, I'm going to tell you why I'm confused, and you can tell me if I'm tripping. I really can't believe that people are pulling up a 16-year-old sexual assault case to slander Kobe Bryant's Oscar win. It just seems disingenuous because I want to know, where has everybody been for the past 16 years? Kobe caught this case in the summer of 03. Since then, he has won two NBA titles in 09 and 10. He was NBA Finals MVP in 09 and 10. He was NBA MVP in 2008. He was the All-Star Game MVP in 2007, 2009, and 2011. He was All-NBA First Team in 03, 04, from 06 to 2013. He was the scoring champ in 06 and 07. I don't remember the boycotts of the NBA back then. Not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying I don't remember the outrage like I'm seeing now because he won an Oscar. Kobe was on the cover of four video games since that rape case. Four. I didn't see y'all calling for a boycott of EA Sports and Visual Concepts who produced the games. Kobe was in a commercial for Turkish Airlines, Guitar Hero, and Call of Duty. I didn't see y'all calling for boycotts for none of those companies. Kobe Bryant has been with Nike since 03, putting out sneakers, still putting out sneakers now. And I never once heard somebody say, we are boycotting Nike or Nike is wrong. Kobe's jersey got retired this year. On the day they retired both of his jersey numbers, 8 and 24, AEG, the owner of the Staples Center, sold damn near $1 million worth of Kobe's merchandise. And nobody had anything to say about it. I just want to know why, when Kobe wins an Oscar, all of a sudden, his name is being slandered on this fine Monday morning for a sexual assault allegation that happened 16 years ago. I'm just trying to figure out now, 16 years later, people are triggered because he won an Oscar for a short film about basketball. You haven't been concerned about any of the other accolades basketball has bought Kobe Bryant, but why not an Oscar? I have two questions. Why now are people triggered? And when is a man, especially a black man in America, ever truly not guilty of anything in the court of public opinion? Let's talk about Kobe's case for a second. He was accused of sexual assault. Kobe said he did have sex with the woman, but it was consensual. Kobe's case was eventually dropped because the woman refused to testify. Shouldn't the case be closed from there? We can all have our opinions on whether or not we think Kobe is guilty or not, and we can choose or choose not to support him and companies affiliated with him based on our beliefs. But I just want to know, when is a man, especially a black man, ever allowed to move past any of the mistakes we have made? If we get found not guilty, they still treat us like we guilty. If the case gets dropped, they still treat us like we guilty. Why can't that man be allowed to grow and evolve and learn from his mistakes? Sorry if everyone can't be, you know, all perfect like you people in the world who have never made a mistake, but I just want to know why 16 years and many, many accolades later, Kobe is being slandered for his past sexual assault allegations. That's not strange to you? Roman Polanski won an Oscar for directing in 2003. And Roman Polanski was accused of drubbing and raping mad young girls, and he was arrested and charged, and he fled the country. He was charged with five offenses of raping a 13-year-old girl, and hours before he was about to be formally sentenced, he fled to France and has avoided visiting countries that would likely extradite him to this day. And he won an Oscar in 2003. One. W-O-N. And maybe it's because we live in different media eras, but I didn't see the kind of backlash for that Kobe is receiving. Gary Oldman, last night, won Best Actor. And he was accused of beating his wife in front of their young children. Gary denied the claims, Charges were never filed against him, but I don't see y'all reacting to that the way y'all reacting to Kobe. I see a few articles here and there, but y'all acting like Kobe got charged with sexual assault allegations yesterday. Look, it's a lot of people who should never be forgiven for crimes they have committed against women. It's a lot of people who have yet to pay for the crimes they have committed against women. Like, it's enough going on right now. Enough people out here with allegations right now. People out here who are stone cold guilty right now. We don't have to reach back and slander people who may or may not have been guilty, but he said he didn't do it. Okay, and the court of law, the case got dropped. So why in 2018, after all the other awards he has won, why now is his name being slandered for winning an Oscar on this fine Monday morning? It's not like this man is R. Kelly, who was on video with a minor and who hasn't confessed to any wrongdoing and still continues to mess with young girls to this day. Kobe admitted to his infidelities, said he had sex with the woman, but it was consensual. Charges were dropped, and 16 years later, when he's in a room that quite possibly a lot of people don't want him to be in, his charges have resurfaced. I smell BS, ladies and gentlemen. And I just want to know, when can a person, especially a black man, be not guilty? Are we guilty forever? Even when we haven't been found guilty? Even after charges get dismissed or dropped? Doesn't seem like it. Please give all these people digging up Kobe's old sexual assault allegations and slandering him for winning an Oscar the biggest hee-haw, please. All right. I'm just saying, can we open up the phone lines? I'd like to have a conversation with the people.
What you want to ask the people?
I just want to know, am I tripping? You know, should Kobe Bryant's sexual assault allegations resurface 16 years later after the fact, after his charges being dropped?
Okay. Well, let's open up the phone lines.
Yeah, I have some feelings on this also.
800-585-1051. Should we still be talking about these allegations that happened with Kobe? How long ago was that?
16 years.
16 years ago.
And shouldn't Gary Oldman, who won Best Actor last night, shouldn't he be getting some of this energy, too? He was accused of beating his wife, even though no charges were filed.
All right.
And he won Best Actor last night.
800-585-1051. Let's talk about it when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just join us, Charlamagne gave, I don't want to call them haters. I would call them...
people who are digging up Kobe Bryant's past sexual assault allegations to slander him for winning an Oscar last.
All right. And we're asking 800-585-1051. Should we still be talking about his past? Yee, what do you think?
All right. Well, first of all, Charlamagne, I do want to say you used to bring up every time you mentioned Kobe, don't forget that he did anally rape
a
woman.
Yeah, but I'm not slandering his awards. It's a joke.
So it still kept coming up. But what I think in particular, if I remember with the whole Kobe Bryant situation, with this whole Me Too movement going on, was that they did a lot of things, even during the hearing where they were naming the accuser's name, mm-hmm. and they were also bringing up her past sexual history and a lot of different things.
Well, that's because she got caught with other DNA in her panties.
Right,
though.
To try to discredit her. And they, you know, it was just a lot of different things I think that went on during that time that made that particular case kind of an example of how sometimes, you know, victims get shamed and it makes it very, very hard for women to come forward and express their truth. So I do believe that because that situation happened with him, even if that follows him for the rest of his life, I mean, what can he do about it? It happened. And
so you think,
people
you don't
have,
think it's
people
strange.
Have the right.
You think it should stay with him the whole time.
I mean, it does.
But it hasn't. That's my point. That's the whole point of me giving the donkey today. It hasn't. This man has won so many different accolades, been on the front of so many different video games, has sneaker endorsements, all kind of stuff, and it's never came up until last night when he wins the Oscar. You don't think it's strange?
But I think with the Oscars, the Me Too movement also is front and center right now, in particular this year.
So why and Gary Oldman isn't getting slammed?
He did.
Crazy.
I saw it in Forbes. I saw it on Fox News.
I think Gary wasn't charged. There was no criminal charges against him.
I don't think that he's getting slandered the way Kobe's getting slandered.
But there was no criminal charges.
Well, Kobe's case got dropped.
Well.
Kobe's case got dropped.
But
he said he didn't
but
do it.
If you look at it like that, you could say R. Kelly's case got dropped.
R. Kelly was on video. R. Kelly was on video.
O.J.
Simpson's
case got dropped.
O.J. Simpson is two bodies. All right.
But he got dropped.
No, man.
He did get dropped.
I think it's a difference.
All right.
But maybe I'm bugging. So, man, let's open up the phone lines.
All right. Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Shaw.
Hey, mama.
So it's just typical Hollywood, white Hollywood, just doesn't want black people to be great. It's the same thing with the O.J. Simpson situation. He killed the white lady and got away with it allegedly. And now that when he allegedly stole his own things and they gave him all this time, they just don't want to let people be great.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like y'all mixing O.J.
Yeah,
up
I don't know
with
if
this.
That is a
because
great
I, one thing
comparison.
That black people need to face is that O.J. did do it. I don't give a damn what
I mean,
happened.
We don't know if O.J. did it, but I kind of feel like if the cases were dropped or the cases is over, they should leave it alone. It should be left alone.
I mean, yeah.
That's how I honestly
And by the way, you have the right to not go to his games,
right.
Not buy his merchandise, not buy anything that he's affiliated with. All I'm saying is it just seems a little sketchy when 16 years later he wins an Oscar, all his allegations are resurfacing.
And, you know, the only thing with you know, we mentioned R. Kelly. See, the thing with R. Kelly is we seen it.
He's on video. And he continues to display the same behavior now.
Right. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Anna.
Anna, good morning. We're talking Kobe Bryant. Should his past be resurfaced?
Yes, it should.
Why?
It should be resurfaced because you cannot hide the truth. You can't hide the truth whether it's a day, a year, 10 years, 16 years later. The truth is out.
Well, what is the
Everybody
truth?
Everybody has the right to their opinion.
What is the truth?
She was a receipt to hush money. She didn't get a chance to explain her side the way Kobe just hushed his wife with that big rock.
She and didn't,
that was the
But she
the
didn't
day.
Receive hush money. She won a civil suit. He gave her money in a civil suit.
Money. She had to fight for that because if she didn't get that, she would have went to the tabloids and told all the details. But
all the details are out, baby. All you got to do is look them up. All the details are out.
No, he said he cheated, and I mean,
yes.
There's nothing you can say if a woman feels a way about this, because if there's right. something in particular that she could relate to in this situation and it bothers her. Like,
I'm not saying you don't have to be bothered. I'm just saying that right, the facts of the case are out there. All the details are out. Mm-hmm. That's why I always made jokes about Kobe, because he wanted some dookie love. Like, he walked in there and said, I'm gonna have sex with her in the anus.
All right. Well, 800-585-1051. We're talking Kobe Bryant. Should we still be talking about his past now? It's been 16 years.
And you haven't been talking about it.
Let's open up the phone lines. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Kendrick Lamar with Love. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking Kobe Bryant. Charlamagne gave Donkey the data. Who, Charlamagne?
I gave Donkey the data. All the people who are resurfacing Kobe Bryant's old sexual assault allegations in light of him winning an Oscar last night. And I just want people to have consistency, because I don't see why Kobe's charges are resurfacing 16 years later. All the accolades he has gotten over the past 16 years, but for whatever reason, last night triggered everybody getting upset. And you can't just say it's the Me Too Time's Up movement, because Gary Oldman won Best Actor last night, and he was accused of choking his wife and beating her with a phone in front of the kids.
You know, he wasn't charged, but I look at both sides, and I say, if I'm Kobe Bryant, I was found not guilty. Leave it alone. It should be over. It should be a wrap.
The charges were dropped.
It should be a wrap. If I was found not guilty or they didn't have enough evidence, it should be over. Why do I have to live with this? He said he didn't do it. The charges were dropped. Why am I still dealing with it? But there's a lot of women that been through it that maybe dropped the charges for different reasons, and they still feel the situation.
But
and people also feel like the person who has the money and the power is the person that tends to win, and that's a lot of the Me Too movement, is that women have always been intimidated to come forward because things like that could happen, whether or not. You know, the man gets found guilty.
I'm just looking at these headlines, and these headlines are foul, man. Kobe Bryant wins Oscar despite sexual assault allegations. That don't sound like that happened yesterday. Hmm? You know what I'm saying? That sounds like it happened yesterday.
Well, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Yo, it's Manny from Worcester.
What's going on now? Now, we're asking your opinion on Kobe.
I feel like the only reason they're bringing that stuff up with Kobe is because, like, I don't want to label it, but he's, like, winning a white award. You know what I'm saying? Like, so look how they did Bill Cosby. Like, they're trying to do the same thing with Kobe Bryant. Like, he did that that stuff a while ago, and they're bringing it back up because he won an Oscar. If he won, like, an ESPY or, like, a BET award, they probably wouldn't have brought it up.
You know, man, that's kind of my point. I mean, it just seems very, very, very sketchy that now, in 2018, after 16 years and all the accolades he's won, all of a sudden they just bringing it back up. Like, that it just seems kind of strange. You know what I mean?
And it's crazy, too, because, like, Kobe is. Everybody knows who Kobe is. And like, for him to, you know, win an Oscar off of, you know, his narration and writing, like, that's dope. And for them to try to, like, you know, discriminate or, like, you know, put some sort of negativity on it is just ridiculous.
All right. Thank you, bro. Hello, who's this?
Yes, hi, good morning. My name is Patrice.
Hey, Patrice, what do you think about the whole Kobe Bryant situation?
I feel like it's bullshit. Like, I just
no cursing.
Excuse my language, sorry. But I just feel like, you know, it shouldn't even matter. You made great points on why it shouldn't matter when you focus on a white man and what they do. And I just feel like for black men, I just feel like they have to be very careful in this society of what they do and how they move, because their mistake will cost them their whole lifetime. It will never be forgiven or forgotten. I mentioned, like, that Obama, that's why he moved the way he did in his presidency, because he knew he was representing a black man.
Well, I don't think this has cost Kobe anything, really. I mean, everything that's happened, he still got his award. He still, like you said, has gotten all kinds of accolades in the world of sports.
But I'm sure there's a lot he couldn't do because of that, though. I'm 100% sure. There's a lot of people that had to turn him down because of that rape allegation.
Plus, the man got daughters. He got daughters that are getting old enough to read. And I'm sure they know about their father's situation, but they shouldn't have to wake up on a Monday morning and see Kobe Bryant wins Oscar despite sexual assault allegations. I don't see nobody. Exactly. I don't see no headline that says Gary Oldman wins Best Actor Oscar despite domestic violence accusations.
It shouldn't have came up. It was supposed to be a good time for him and an honor, and it shouldn't even have came up.
All right. Well, thank you for calling, Mama.
You're welcome.
And what's the moral of the story?
I don't know if there is a moral of the story, because I asked a question, and I don't even know if that question got answered. And the question is a black man ever truly not guilty?
Okay.
Ever.
All right.
Even if the charges are dropped, case gets dismissed, are we ever truly not guilty? Clearly not.
All right. Well, we got rumors on the way?
Yes. Well, since we're talking about black people, let's talk about Jordan Peele at the Oscars.
All right. We'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Yes.
Hey, I like sparking conversation. I like the conversation that's happening based off this Kobe Bryant thing. Reginald Starr on Twitter said the reason Kobe's sexual assault allegations are resurfacing is not because of race, it's because Kobe is an outsider. And that could be very true. First time being nominated for an Oscar and you win? A lot of people would be hot about that.
Mm. All right, well, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Jordan Peele.
Listen up.
This just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Last night, Jordan Peele was winner in the Best Original Screenplay race, and he is the first black screenwriter to get that honor ever.
Dropping the clues bombs with Jordan Peele, damn it.
Now, here's what Jordan Peele had to say. And mind you, Jimmy Kimmel had made a joke earlier on where he was saying that whoever makes the shortest speech is going to get jet skis.
Thank you. You guys are gonna mess up my jet ski. Hold up. This means so much to me. I stopped writing this movie about 20 times because I thought it was impossible. I thought it wasn't going to work. I thought no one would ever make this movie. But I kept coming back to it because I knew if someone let me make this movie, that people would hear it and people would see it. So I want to dedicate this to all the people who raised my voice and let me make this movie.
I'd be expecting people who are the first to win, like, you know, the first black person or whatever, I'd be expecting them to have better acceptance speeches, man.
Well, only four black film writers have been nominated.
You
prepare.
Only four black film writers have ever been nominated in the Best Original Screenplay category in the Oscars' 90-year history.
I think about when Lena Waithe won her Golden Globe. She had a great speech. Like, you got to have a good acceptance speech when you're the first at something.
Maybe he just didn't know. Maybe he was doubting himself.
Prepare.
All right, now Tiffany Haddish. She wore her $4,000 white gown for the Oscars, and that's not the first time she's worn that dress. She wore it actually to the premiere of Girls Trip, and she also wore it while hosting Saturday Night Live back in November. She said, I feel like I should be able to wear what I want when I want, however many times I want, as long as I Febreze it.
Dropping the clues box for Tiffany Haddish for being consistent. Okay?
My goodness.
That's all we want from people is consistency.
It's interesting because I saw on Baller Alert they posted Tamar Braxton says, say what you want, stack that bread, sis. Tiffany Haddish, she said she's getting her 4 G's out of that dress. Somebody get her some free dresses. Girl power, get it, sis.
Consistency.
And I ain't mad at her.
Now, listen, I just want to say that wasn't a diss because I saw a lot of people going in on Tamar. What she was trying to say is that a lot of times when you have events like this, people dress you for them. And she had some issues before with nobody wanting to give her a dress for the Grammys, but she was saying that Tiffany Haddish deserves to have people want to dress her for these events.
You're damn right. Consistency, man. And she came out there in some Ugg slippers last night with the dress on.
I thought she had heels on and took them off, no?
Yeah, and she had on Ugg slippers.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, now Tiffany Haddish has also vowed that she would sign an NDA any day for Beyonce. If you guys recall, of course, there's that new song, Top Off, the Khaled song featuring Jay-Z, Beyonce, and Future. And here's what B said in that song.
If they're trying to party with the queen, they gonna have to sign a non-disclosure. Hey. I took the top off the Maybach.
All right, so that obviously is because of Tiffany Haddish was partying with Beyonce and told the story about what happened at the event. Well, here's what Tiffany Haddish said about that initial encounter and that she would sign an NDA.
I made it.
Beyonce put my name in the song. I made it.
What did you think when you heard Beyonce call you out on the song?
I was like, that's me. I was so happy. I'm like, oh, I love me some Beyonce. Where them NDAs at so I can sign
them? Are you going to her party tonight? They're having a party.
I know. I got an invitation.
You did?
As soon as I get out the car, I'm going to be like, oh, where's the non-disclosure forms at? And I ain't never saying her name out loud again.
I bet you won't hear nothing about that party they had last night.
Nope.
Can I hear that part? Because, you know, I didn't hear her say Tiffany's name at first. I had to listen to
she
it.
She didn't say Tiffany's name.
They're saying that she did say it. Let me hear it again.
No, you got to pull the audio back.
Nah, I didn't hear Tiffany's name. I knew it was about Tiffany when I heard
well,
it.
Well, yeah, because she said, clip, she said Beyonce right said my name.
The Beyonce clip. The Beyonce, Beyonce clip.
Yeah, the actual song. The song.
Nah, she didn't say her name.
Man, shut up. Man.
They didn't say her name.
I'm just trying to hear where they said it because I didn't hear it. But Tiffany Haddish said, oh my God, I just heard it. I'm doing a full on dance right now. My name is in a Beyonce, Jay-Z featuring Khaled song. I made it, y'all.
Well, your name must be Maybach. Tiff's nickname, Maybach.
I'm just trying to hear it. That's all. But I'm going to keep on. I'm going to listen to it again some more. Okay, Floyd is going to be doing his own game. Now, remember Mike Tyson's Punch Out was really popular?
Yes. That video game. Game.
Well, Floyd said he's going to follow in Mike Tyson's footsteps and do his own video game as well. He's been working on that. And he's also going to have ownership in it, he said, to make sure that it comes out right. So I'm sure you guys will want to play that game. All right, Cat Williams. He talks about interning at an alligator farm in order to get ready for his role on Atlanta. If you guys saw the first episode of Atlanta from the second season, Cat Williams is on there. And he actually had a great role on there too. I really enjoyed seeing him on there. He said he's a music fan and a comedy fan. He said Donald Glover's name carries that type of weight in both of those circles. So any project he's a part of, you want to be a part of it as well. He had some thoughts on season two, where he wanted to take it and how he wanted to put things out there. You can put yourself into somebody's hand when you can trust their objective. He said, the first two times I auditioned, I wasn't good enough and other people were better. I just kept at it. And then I interned at an alligator farm for 3.5 weeks just so I could get comfortable enough that we didn't use a stuntman.
I didn't see. He wasn't in no scene with the alligator, though.
I guess it's going to be coming up. So, I don't know.
Oh, and if you, okay, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, so he's the alligator man on the show.
So he's going to have a reoccurring role.
I would guess that.
I guess so. Yeah. I think so.
I'm not mad at that.
I guess that's what that means.
The first season of, the first episode of Atlanta was good. You know, I didn't laugh much, but that's only because, like, Atlanta's one of those shows that doesn't have laugh tracks.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to laugh because you don't want to miss nothing.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
And also, a lot of times that first episode is setting you up. Like, it's kind of repositioning everything and setting down the groundwork for what's about to happen. So mm-hmm. I felt like that's what was going on because they're introducing Cat Williams. It's Robin season, so mm-hmm. it's a whole different take than it was last season. All right, Khloe Kardashian is going to be having a baby girl with Tristan Thompson. They did reveal that news on the season finale, of course, of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. This whole time, I guess she thought she was having a boy, but then she found out that she is having a girl. She tweeted out, God gives us what we need. His timing is never wrong. My hormones were in rare form for that news. I am now so excited. My daughter will have forever best friends with Chicago and Stormy. God is great. Thank you, Lord, for our princess.
All right. Congratulations to them. When's that Floyd Mayweather game coming out, man?
Oh, I don't know yet.
They didn't say
anything. He's still developing it.
Is it a real thing or that's something he said he wants to do?
No, he said he's in the middle of working on it and he's going to have part ownership in it. So he's making it already.
That's going to be interesting. I like those fight games. I like Fight Night. Of course, we loved Mike Tyson Punch Out growing up.
Right.
Should do a game that like improves reading skills in children.
All right. All right. Thank you, Yee, for those rumor reports.
Why are you going to tear him down?
I'm not tearing him down. I'm saying that would be dope.
This guy. Revolt, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Everybody else, the People's Choice mix is up next. We're going to start off the mix with my remix to my song. This is Derez Deshawn, DJ Envy, featuring Derez Deshawn, Yo Gotti, and 2 Chainz. This is the Hardaway remix, and it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.